Hi everyone, it's John Shushani, the host of the June Founder Series. In our conversations, we're highlighting the people and stories behind the brands we love. Each founder is moving the needle in how we think about living happier, healthier, and overall better quality lives. Enjoy. Hi Jessica, it's awesome to have you here on the June Founder Series.
Thank you so much for having me, John. So excited to chat.
Likewise. So this is Jessica, co-founder of Prima. If you haven't heard of Prima, please check them out. Jessica, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you're up to?
Yes, of course. My name is Jessica Soff. I'm one of the founders, as John said, of Prima. We're a B Corp and a hemp CBD brand based in Santa Monica that makes supplements, skincare, and body care with hemp CBD and functional botanical ingredients. And I've been an activist and social entrepreneur since I was 15, growing up in Marin County, and learned a lot from activists and leaders around me that I've been so fortunate to connect with. And then ultimately realized that business is such an effective way to promote my values and ideals, but through a tangible form. So was really grateful to get my MBA at Harvard, move back to California, and get involved in cannabis and CBD.
Amazing. And we met through multiple ways, but one was through another startup that you were up to in this space called Cannabis Feminist. I'm curious what the journey was like, if we could dive a little bit deeper into the founding of Prima. So you come out of college, you come out of your MBA, and what happened from there?
So after I got my MBA, I learned that the cannabis industry, which was just beginning, so I'm not talking about the illegal cannabis industry, but the legal recreational market, I foresaw that California was going to legalize. This was in 2016. And I also learned just around that time that across all US industries, the cannabis industry has the highest percentage of female executives, which I thought was very interesting because we're talking about a female plant. A plant that some would say, including myself, helps everyone kind of access the feminine energy in all of us. Unlike alcohol and other substances, cannabis softens us. It doesn't make us more aggressive. And so in many ways, it promotes the feminine. And so I thought to myself, is cannabis the new feminism? Meaning, is the cannabis industry the first opportunity women have to design, build, and lead an industry around a female plant that can help heal the world? And so I started a platform for women called Cannabis Feminist. I had two of my friends really building it with me, Jackie and Laura. And it was really just an Instagram account that I started sharing, kind of trying to break the stigma. So sharing women coming out of the cannabis closet, sharing why they use cannabis. And then we hosted a series of events around Los Angeles called the Bake Sale, where only women would sell their products, their cannabis products, but everyone could attend. There were free community events. And just did a whole bunch of experimentation. If I think back, I think it was market research, to be honest, because it really informed what I ended up doing with Prima. But it was so exciting being involved in the budding cannabis industry before it was even really born, just as it was emerging. And I learned so much. I did a show with Snoop Dogg called Queens of the Stone Age, which was awesome. And that was inspired by the cannabis women circles that we would host, where women would just come together in a circle, use cannabis together, and talk about how they feel. And I was like, this needs to be a show. The things that we're talking about, the vulnerability, the bravery, everyone needs to know, because if people understood how others were using cannabis, maybe there wouldn't be such a stigma. Mm-hmm. So really just been trying to kind of break through and help people realize that the plant is a plant like other plants that we should integrate in our lives. And the biggest thing to know that not enough people know, and excuse me for a second, Lola, my dog's just causing some noise. Can you please be quiet? Mommy's on a podcast. Anyways, so so basically what I want everyone to know, what everyone needs to know, is that the body has an entire system dedicated to cannabinoids. Mm. Just like our cardiovascular system, our reproductive system, we have an endocannabinoid system. This was discovered by a scientist in Israel about 50 years ago, Dr. Raphael Meshulam. And essentially, he was the first one to say, how is this cannabis plant able to be used for so many different things, right? People have been using cannabis historically for so many different purposes. And he isolated the active compounds in the plant and found the same compound in the human brain. Mm. And what he learned is that the body, all mammals, dogs, cats, humans, we all produce our own cannabinoids called endocannabinoids. And the main function of these compounds is to promote homeostasis. So basically to regulate stress. So our bodies produce native cannabinoids and they work synergistically with the phytocannabinoids in the plant to help us maintain balance. So it's just so interesting that something that's so natural and so native to the human body is still so misunderstood and there's still so much stigma around it. But ultimately, I learned that it was so much fun hosting these cannabis parties and using cannabis with the community. But I realized that we were only serving ourselves. Mm. We're only serving the people that wanted to smoke cannabis and be involved. And I mean, you were at the events, you saw it. It was a free for all. It was great. It really freed the flower. But at the same time, I want to help stressed out moms in the middle of the country. Yeah. Those people that really need our help. They really need the plant. The ones that think that wine and Xanax is the answer. So those are the people I want to help. And so I realized that while every other cannabis industry company was circling California as the hottest market, I circled the country. I was like, that's the bigger market. That's the bigger opportunity. And so in doing so, sorry, I'm going to turn off Slack. In doing so, I realized that the way to do that is not through the high, not through the intoxication, right? You don't need the high to heal with cannabis. So if you take out the THC, which is the only known intoxicating compound out of over 100 in the plant, you end up with this cannabinoid-rich, super-powered plant that helps the body regulate stress, stress of the skin, body, and mind. And then you don't have to justify the high because not everyone needs the high or wants the high, especially mothers and people with responsibilities. And it's like the switch that happens where the high could almost induce the anxiety the plant is trying to solve. So that's when I realized that Prima was the way to really elevating the plant and helping people understand. If you take the intoxication out, you end up with this rich wellness tool. And so really excited to be able to have a line of over 14 products that really use this plant with just the most integrity and respect, and also elevate other botanicals as well.
Yeah, I find your story so fascinating. I think I was listening to you on another podcast, which is fun. You could do research now in that way. And going from like looking at the industry, the beauty industry, the skincare, and seeing how many toxic chemicals were being used in products, to diving deep into how you could take care of your skin, take care of your body with things that are more natural. I think the whole mission of connecting people back to plants and nature is also super cool. And then also then watching your guys' explosion in recent months and years, going from one product to 14 to, being in places like Sephora. And I'm curious to dive a little bit deeper into certain parts of the journey. So you come out of Cannabis Feminist, like what was the initial product the line of Prima? Was it a skincare product or was it an ingestible? And then how did you go about finding your partners in the company?
So I guess I'll start with the team because that came first.
Cool.
Basically, it was this very interesting experience where I had been working with friends and women specifically, and it was amazing, but it also had its set of challenges. And I was at this point where I just really wanted kind of like a male counterpoint. I know that maybe sounds controversial, but they say with the law of attraction, you really should visualize exactly what you want and put it out there. And so I started doing that. I started thinking about just the type of business partner I wanted to work with and the type of team I wanted to build. And what I was looking for before was more like people that were similar to me. And I found that was not the puzzle that would make a strong team. You need complementary skill sets. You need people that are different. And I had spent the past 4 years in business school. I built an all-female beauty company called Roz Everything with four other global women. And on paper, we were just like the epitome of a dream team. We represented West Africa and Kansas and the UK and Albania, and I'm Israeli. So it really felt like on paper and visually, it was exactly what I wanted. But I started to realize that that's, at the end of the day, these people are the people you spend the most time with, the people you effectively trust more than you would trust like your husband or wife. And I started realizing that I wanted to work with people that were older than me, that had done this before. I didn't feel like I knew everything. You know, you come out of business school and you're not ready to be a CEO. I didn't know how to manage people. I didn't know, you know, how to build. And so I knew how to create the vision, of course. But it was just this interesting experience where Christopher Galvigan had heard about the cannabis events I was doing in Los Angeles. We'd been connected over the course of the past decade through our work in the natural products industry, which was kind of the backbone of everything I had done, was 10 years of activism trying to clean up the beauty industry and promote safer products. And so that brought me to business. But he basically heard about the cannabis events, and just we finally decided to meet in person. And it was just like a meeting of the minds, because we have the same values and we've been doing the same work. He was really educating parents and children before starting the Honest Company. He worked as the CEO of Healthy Child, Healthy World, educating parents about toxic chemicals and products specifically for their children. And I was doing the same work for teens. So it was really interesting. It's interesting how, you know, people come into your life and then for this, just these interesting reasons. I had a call with him in business school because I wrote a blog post defending the Honest Company. And then we met later at Cafe Gratitude in Venice. And it was just like, I'm your next Jessica A. And then we met in Laurel, Angelica Myers, who had worked with him for 7 years at the Honest Company, launching hundreds of products. She was in nonprofit world too, in media. And we were like, whoa, this is the trifecta, because we're all so different, but so complementary. And it's just, it's so hard to start a business, let alone, you know, build a team, scale a business. But you realize that it is this puzzle of just right people at the right time with different skill sets. And there's luck, there's, you know, there's so many different factors, but it was truly the most important moment of my life was meeting those two.
So cool. So you guys come together, you say, let's start this company. And then does the formulation start? Did you already have experience? Did you have the most experience? Or I guess everyone sort of had experience coming from Honest Company. Like, what did you guys do next? And what was the first product you guys launched?
Laurel had led product development at Honest for 7 years. So she has launched hundreds of products. Christopher too. And so I had the least product knowledge, actually. It's so funny because they're, you know, they've launched hundreds of products, even though I've been formulating my kitchen for 10 years. And we decided to take a portfolio approach. So we focus on supplements, skincare, and body care. And so it was important for us to launch with one product for each category. So we launched with The Daily, which is our vegan soft gel, still our bestseller. Skin Therapy, which is an all-over skin body butter. We actually formulated 57 times to get the texture right. Wow. And Night Magic, which is now an award-winning facial oil. And so we launched with three, from one from each category, and then we expanded from there.
Cool. You mentioned something which was just around, I think you mentioned it, or maybe I just want to dive into it. It's just around like consumers changing their behavior and finding cleaner products. Curious to know where you, now that you've been in and around the space for, I don't know, 10, 15 years, how do you think about that shift? Obviously there's a lot more information out there now. It's sort of like part of the zeitgeist and culture in terms of like using cleaner products. But how else do you think about consumers starting to use more natural ingredients in their beauty products and their skincare products, similar to like the trend that's happened in organic? How is that happening? How is Prima a part of it?
So what I learned through really studying the consumer for many years is that the consumer will not change their behavior if it means compromising any of their values or standards, meaning we won't be able to promote a cleaner version of a liquid eyeliner unless the liquid eyeliner stays on, right? If it doesn't work, you have to compromise efficacy. Or so there's some products that it's really, they're really challenging to sway the consumer over because performance really matters. And so I just really believe that we should be all, we should all be informed consumers, meaning we should have access to all of the information, but it's up to us where we make the exception. And I think that's that is what it means to be a conscious consumer. You're conscious of everything. It's like you do a cost benefit analysis on everything and you make the decision that's right for you. But when it comes to natural, it was so hard to convince consumers to switch to a safer alternative when the safer alternatives look like granola hippie products, you know, pot made. You didn't want to keep them on the shelf. Like, it took the natural movement a long time to actually have shelf space, because it took people a while to realize like beauty really matters. Experience really matters, you know, texture, scent, all of those things, because the consumer is not going to say, the mainstream consumer, my values are so strong that I'm going to compromise experience or efficacy because I want to do the right thing for the planet. That's not really how humans work for the most part. And then there's exceptions, and that's okay. You know, I know that I use not the cleanest mascara because I like how it looks, and that's okay because I use all other clean products. So I think that it's okay to also be human about it and not say it's like, it's not black and white. It's not all or nothing. It's just about kind of creating your own, you know, holistic, conscious roadmap for how you approach your products. And even more than ingredients, I always say, who's behind the product? Know the faces of the founders. What's their mission statement? You know, if a company doesn't have a mission statement at this point, something's going on, or they should reconsider, because it's such an interesting time for brands. It's almost like in the wake of, you know, religion and traditional trust in government and the medical system has kind of diminished. The brands are almost like the new life philosophy, the new religion and purpose. And so with that comes the responsibility to really develop a brand philosophy and a set of values. And what is your mission? You know, what is the reason behind what you do? So I also believe that consumers should look at that, look at the people behind the companies. For me, I never understood, how is the beauty industry run by white men that know nothing about women? So that was, you know, a big turning point for me in understanding what really matters.
Super cool. When I think about my own kind of trajectory, I feel really lucky that I just stumbled upon working for an OG in the game, Bragg Life Food Products, and kind of selling apple cider vinegar. And even as I like go into my shower, you know, have my Dr. Bronner's, and I think one day, you know, creating a product that has that stands the test of time and lasts for decades in terms of just speaking to the consumer and also delivering a high quality product. How do you, like, who do you look to, Jessica, when you think about like Prima's brand family and other companies, whether from a value perspective, product perspective, that you guys look to emulate as a company?
Well, we definitely look at Patagonia as a North Star, and Forbes actually called us the CBD, I guess the CBD of Patagonia. So CBD brand potentially.
That's nice.
But because with them, you think values first.
Yeah, you do.
And what other brands? We love other B Corps. So even when we think about holiday team gifts and what companies support, we really support other B Corps. Certified B Corps, that they're companies that use business as a force for good. And you have to go through an extensive kind of validation and supply chain study to be certified. So we really believe in B Corps. And what else? I mean, really just everyone doing something in the space of stress. And that really means sleep, that means meditation, that means, you know, health and fitness, even just what Peloton and Mirror and brands have done in bringing that experience home, although they're very expensive and, you know, price prohibitive. It's really interesting how, even for us, how important it is to move and support that. There's so many solutions. And I think as a brand, we're also trying to say CBD is not everything. If you don't a healthy diet, if you don't have good sleep, if you don't move and have healthy relationships, you won't find success with our products.
Yeah, like the you got to have the foundations down, and then we're just like the cherry on top. Mm-hmm. As you think about creating more access to your products, is that where something like your retail strategy comes into play? Like outside of Sephora, are you guys targeting like the Walmarts of the world? Are you guys in Target?
We're not in Target.
But how do you think about that? Yeah, that distribution in terms of like just meeting new customers.
Well, as a CBD brand, it's really difficult for us because there's still a little bit of a gray when it comes to legality, and mainstream retailers have been slow to move, especially on the supplement side. So one of the challenges in being a CBD brand is our supplements really help people understand our products, right? You ingest them, you feel the Prima working at a really deep level. And so they're really powerful entry points if we had distribution for them, but there isn't a CBD national distributor for in terms of retail for the supplement side of the business. And you almost need the supplements to validate the efficacy across the line. Because, you know, this is our skin therapy is the best body butter on the market, but you're not going to feel the CBD and understand the impact of the CBD from this type of product. You're going to feel it from the daily or one of our powders. So that's a challenge is, you know, I don't know, what's the Sephora of vitamins that, you know,
GNC,
hopefully something like that. But yeah, so that's a challenge for us. And then use, you know, leveraging Facebook for ads is a whole nother beast because of CBD. So it's a hard time, but we're figuring it out creatively. And we're so grateful for Sephora, for Thrive, for Erewhon, through for Nordstrom, for all of our current retailers. We just launched Nordstrom. So they're really important touch points for us because we're still a baby new brand.
Yeah. You mentioned thinking about efficacy. I think there's this pretty cool trend of bringing more science to well-being, bringing more science to wellness, because, you know, sometimes people can look at wellness as like a little bit foo-foo and not necessarily rooted in something more objective. How do you think about that pillar of science to wellness, and maybe even zooming out of what you guys are doing specifically at Prima, thinking about what's happening into the in the cannabis and CBD industry as a whole?
So that's actually really, really important to us as a brand. And our mission statement is actually to uplift science and nature to advance health and cultivate collective well-being. And within that is the desire and commitment to uplift both science and nature, because you can't have nature without science today, in that we really need to validate the efficacy of natural ingredients, not just put natural ingredients in a bottle and expect it to work. So we do independent clinical studies with our products to demonstrate efficacy. Sure. We've done them with two so far that are public, and that allows us to show and actually make claims against our products. And that's something we're really committed to. So it's really important. I mean, the issue deeper is that you can't patent a plant. So there's very little incentive to do the research at a, you know, national level to show the efficacy in the science. But we as a brand are really committed to doing that.
And when it, if we can just double click on that for a sec, like when you think of something like CBD and relaxation, or like, is it, what are those studies focused on? Is it CBD and relaxation, CBD and stress, CBD and inflammation? And what is the verdict out? Like how are things looking so far?
Well, again, because you can't patent CBD, there's been very little incentive funding to do those studies. There still hasn't been a cannabis and cancer study. People have been using cannabis for cancer treatment or symptom reduction for so long, and there still hasn't been a cannabis and cancer study. There's no incentive and there's no desire, which is, it blows my mind and it makes me so angry. But we do it product specific so that we can make claims like 93% of women saw noticeable skin hydration and fine line reduction after 8 weeks of using Night Magic, something like that, product specific, which is actually true. But the issue is that it's not like institutions, academic institutions, are investing a lot of time and money into this to be able to say CBD helps with anxiety. There are studies happening. There's, you know, UCLA has a cannabis center, a research center, other institutions as well. it's just that research takes time, it costs money. So I think the priority has really been around cannabis and epilepsy, because there is a FDA approved pharmaceutical drug, Epidiolex, that treats epilepsy. And it's so fascinating, this plant that has such stigma is actually approved by the pharmaceutical industry to treat a rare form of childhood epilepsy. Like, let's just think about that. You know, we should just forgive the plant and move on, because this plant has limitless potential.
So interesting. I'd love to switch gears a little bit and think about you, Jessica, as a founder, chief education officer, and think a little bit about what you do, you know, systems, mental models, what you've kind of learned along the way in order to stay focused and to grow this business and maybe also stay resilient. Outside of CBD, what other practices or habits do you have in order to like find focus and productivity? Maybe we'll start there and then move over to some other parts of the journey.
So I have experienced a lot of success with bulletproof coffee. I love making it. The process of making it is very meditative for me. I use a Chemex and I take my time and I add all my superfoods and adaptogens. And so it's like the act of making the coffee and actually drinking the coffee keeps me very focused and productive. I start with Brain Fuel, which is our adaptogen and CBD blend for energy and focus, lion's mane, rhodiola, ashwagandha, ginkgo, CBD. It's really important to stay hydrated. I'm not good enough at it. I want to work on it, but to drink water before the coffee. Also having a dog, I've had a dog for almost 9 years and she makes me go outside, whereas I would probably be inside all day. I mean, I work from home. I live in the same one bedroom bungalow. So being forced to go outside, take a deep breath is really important. And just watching her, she's so present and forgiving and resilient and all the qualities I want to embody. So just having a dog. And I've realized exercise. I started going to Barry's boot camp recently and I never thought outdoor and tread. And a year ago I would have been like, oh, I can't do Barry's. I can't do it. It's too hard. And I started going and it's such a fun experience to challenge yourself on how strong you can become and the things that scare you, you should actually move towards, I've learned.
Totally.
And I also realized working out in a group setting with other people, the collective energy is so important for me. So, and then I have met through quarantine, for whatever lucky reason, the most incredibly inspiring group of fellow entrepreneurs. And we just kind of like band together and just lift each other up in just the most beautiful, pure way. And it just fires me up to have people that are just rooting for me and I get to root for. And, you know, everyone's birthday is just this big event and it's just so powerful. So community is huge.
That's amazing. I want to come hang out with y'all and do a Barry's class. I miss the classes in the group fitness. I feel similarly. Like I feel like I had a really deep yoga phase and then didn't touch weights, but it feels great to get strong.
I'm like, I didn't know I could lift. you see the impact. It's like I started with the 8 pounders, even those were a little heavy. Yeah. I'm on the 20, and so it's cool to just see how far you can go. Also, Zozo's fresh juice, huge plug.
Yeah,
this guy made Zozo. Best cold pressed juice. He's all over LA, all over the farmer's market. I go Sunday Mar Vista. I get juice for the week. It's way more affordable than Erewhon. And if you bring the glasses back, you get $1 off each next one. So it
looks really so green.
Juice, so green. And intermittent fasting, of course, is a huge hack. So
how about like outside? I love all that. Wellness hacks, habits, like anything you do from the perspective of nighttime or morning rituals that are like your holy space, anything around like email messaging. I think there's so much. I've been really interested recently in terms of just how do we refine our flow of ideas and inspiration. And right now there's like so many things that are detracting and taking our energy and attention, that finding ways to say no, even through just our day-to-day like interactions with our phones. I'm curious if there's been any major learnings or things that you've done there that have been helpful.
I mean, in terms of like platforms I use or like
maybe even just mental models of like, I don't do this, or like I create extra friction here when I'm, I don't know, on, you know, for example, for me, after I don't use Instagram a lot, but mm-hmm. after I use it, I'll delete it off my phone because I don't want to use it until like next time I need to use it for something maybe more business related. But that's sort of my relationship. It's more of a business relationship rather than like a personal social. So like that's, you know, that adds at least one extra layer of friction in order to make sure that I don't use it as often as I would probably if it was just there.
Yep, that's a good one. I would say I have this idea. Well, my business partner, Christopher, shared this with me a while ago. It's like friends, family, you know, romance, business, choose two, you know, hobby, choose two, and do those two things well. You can't be the best friend while you're trying to be the best entrepreneur and the best daughter and the best sister and the best, you know, most interesting person in terms of hobbies. You just can't do it all. And so I'm okay with that. And I believe that life is a chapter book, and there are different seasons and different chapters for different relationships, different priorities. And so I'm so okay recognizing that I'm not going to be the most dedicated, widespread friend at the same time I'm trying to scale and get to profitability with Prima. And you have to pick and choose and just like be super strong on what you choose. And that's your bound. Those are your boundaries and your lanes, and it's okay. And the people that stay in your life are the people that really love you and understand you. And the people that fade, maybe things have changed and it's okay, you know? So yeah. I believe in that. I believe that I'm someone that I receive so many text messages like most people, but I don't treat text messages as this like instant gratification. You text me and I have to get back to you. Sometimes I don't respond for days. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes, you know, I'll respond if it's the right thing for me to respond in the moment, but I don't get distracted by text, and that frustrates a lot of people, but it works for me because there's this expectation that like, if you receive an email or if you receive a text, you are meant to respond that second. And our lives don't revolve around these like, you know, beeps and notifications. So I just take my time. The people that know me are okay with that. The people that, you know, get frustrated, I'm like, okay, I guess this won't work. So
I also, from listening and just being around you, I've noticed that you have like a strong spiritual connection to something greater than yourself. Where did that come from?
You can sense that?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Did that come from your, you know, being Israeli and Jewish? Did it come from the cannabis, a combination? Like, has there been anything specifically has that always been you?
I've always made things happen. So I've always had this little fire and spark in me, and basically I just go for things, and a lot of times they work out. But I think if I'm honest, it's my connection to my ancestors. I feel a deep, deep, deep connection to the women that came before me who are no longer living. I feel their spirits. I feel like I'm here to do what they couldn't do, so to speak. So it's kind of just this overwhelming connection to almost like my ancestors, but it's also like just the divine. And I don't know, I just feel like I'm being guided a lot of the time.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's beautiful. I've heard that also. Like, I've even experienced that to a certain degree where like, you're like, the people before me have given so much for me to be free living in sunny LA. And it's like my mission and my duty and my calling to like, to give back in honor of them.
Yeah,
everything that's been sacrificed. Super cool. Transitioning a little bit on the same topic around just like you and as a leader, and thinking about Prima as a wellness company. You guys are a excitingly a June partner and a June client. But thinking also about like your leadership style, you guys seeing your team or not seeing your team during these times, becoming more distributed. How do you think about it, attracting and like the best people in order for them to be a good fit for Prima? And then, you know, how do you make sure that they're taking care of themselves and that they're practicing wellness?
It's such a good question. And it's so interesting to be a wellness company and specifically an anti-stress company, because our products relieve stress, but startups induce stress. Yeah. So it's impossible to separate.
Yes, selling anti-stress products is stressful.
Yes, selling any products is stressful. Building any company is stressful, but it's funny being a company providing solutions to effectively the problem that startups cause. So it's definitely just really important to have that hunger and that spark. And that's more important than anything, I think, is just the startup hunger and wanting to dive in and say yes to everything and test and learn and fail and pivot. So I think that's just like this, it's like a sparkle in your eyes, and you can kind of, you have it or you don't, and you thrive or you don't. So I think that that's really the core of it. And to realize that it is a roller coaster, but part of the fun is just feeling the peaks after the dips. And it's just, we're all along for the ride. We're so, so lucky to have such a strong, resilient, tight team. We have brought on one team member during this process, during, you know, quarantine. And it's just it's a bummer not to be able to be together. We used to have so many fun team opportunities and activities. And so not having that connection again, because it's all about, you know, well-being is social, mental, and physical health. So it's like, if you don't have the social, Zoom isn't going to cut it.
Yeah.
So I think, but our team kind of sees the light. And I think that there's also benefits to it. Like, you get to have full control over your schedule, but it's definitely more than anything important, as I said before, to have that startup hunger and to be super passionate about the values and the philosophy behind the products. Because if you realize that we're doing this for, you know, something so much bigger than ourselves, you do have the strength to just, you know, work through everything. And everyone on our team is a, you know, equity holder and a part owner. So we all are incentivized to just see it through.
Yeah, I read something like the best teams will laugh and smile even during the hardest times together. So that's something that I heard when you said that. Jessica, this has been awesome. We're closing out on time. You were really flexible in terms of scheduling this. Thank you. Zooming out, what are you most excited about as you think about, I don't know, your own personal trajectory as well as the professional trajectory of Prima as a company in the next, 6 to 12 months, and then maybe beyond? Just what are you most excited about when you think about the future of plants, when you think about the future of wellness, CBD? I'll stop there.
Well, personally, I'm really excited to step into more of my healer self as opposed to my human self. I spent a lot of time just stuck in my own insecurities. And once you move past that and heal, you're able to kind of like see the healer within you and just give and create rather than, you know, seek and be disappointed. So that's definitely a goal, to give the love and give the light that I want to receive. And as a company, we're just so proud of our portfolio. We have a portfolio of over 14 products, including supplements, skincare, body care, and tools. And we just want more people to try what we've created, because for us, the products are just the deepest expression of our values and our legacy and what we want to leave behind and give to people. So the whole mission of Prima is really to help people feel better every day so they can show up for the people around them and cause a ripple effect of just positivity and purpose and accomplish what you want to accomplish in this life. Because if you feel better, you know, you'll show up better for the people around you. And so it's really just building up the portfolio. We have one product launch happening in a few weeks, which is an exciting one, and really just get our products in the hands of more people and continue to just lead the way for the industry with our standards and our certifications and the way that we're evolving cannabis.
Amazing. I'm so excited to see what you guys do. And maybe as a wellness experience on June, we can eventually go visit some of your farmers. I'm really interested in seeing also that side of the business. But Jessica, thank you so much. You're awesome. I'm looking forward to crossing paths with you and your team in person. Thank you again for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed this.
Likewise.